Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 19th chapter, verses 1 to 15. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, in Kim Purusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramchandra, the elder brother of Lakshman and dear husband of Sita Devi." So what do you remember from yesterday's class of Burijan Prabhu? Yes, Lila Shuka. Mother Earth is worshipping Varaha.
And she makes the point that you can be pleased by sacrifice.
So make she makes a point you can be pleased by sacrifice. Okay, anything else? Sankirtan.
She also.
Okay, there's nothing happening without the... What's that word?
Unseen
controller. Thank you. By the unseen controller. Okay, no, just the English. I couldn't get it. Unseen controller. Everything is being put into motion by the unseen controller. As we were discussing yesterday, that the devotee, he sees actually the unseen controller. He sees the hand of the Lord. Whereas the atheist tries to conceal the hand of the Lord and everything. Anything else from Burijan Prabhu's class yesterday afternoon? One cannot escape the laws of nature, so that indicates how powerful Lord Krishna is. Yes. And welcome, Madan Gopal. Welcome back. Okay, material world is display of Krishna's energy, but he's not personally present. So now I'd like to review a little bit, because we're almost at the end of the prayers of the residents of Jambudweep. So what we'll do, here we have the chart of worship in Jambudweep. Ilavrita Varsha in the middle, Lord Shiva was worshipping Sankarshan. So my question to you is, what did Lord Shiva pray for? What was his prayer? You can remember anything, Sankirtan.
Protection.
Yes, Paramakarna. Protection, okay. You got the message. If you want protection, you should go to the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Okay, next is Badashava in Badashava Varsha, and he's worshipping Hayashirsha. What is he praying for? Hayashirsha. What does Hayashirsha give us? Protection, security, shelter. Okay. Hari Varsha, Prahlad Maharaj is worshipping Nrisinga. Yes?
Fearlessness.
Worshipping. What else does Lord Nrisingadev give?
Protection
from
material desires
in our own hearts. He takes out the material desires in our hearts. Okay, Ketu Malavarsha, Lakshmi is worshipping Kamadev. What is she praying for? Lakshmi Devi. Yes, Madhavendra Puri. You are the only true husband. And so therefore, okay, yes? Yes, if you ask Kamadev for something material for your kama, for your material desires, then you'll be brokenhearted and lament. So what is actually Lakshmi's real desire in the core of her heart? What does she want? She wants rasa with Krishna, rasa dance. She wants what she doesn't have. She wants how Krishna is treating his dear devotees, like the gopis, like Uddhava. So this is what Lakshmi is lacking. Although Lakshmi has everything, Lakshmi is giving one all the opulences, but she lacks this relationship with Krishna, so therefore she's doing austerities still here in Braj. Okay, in Ramyaka Varsha, Manu is worshipping Matsya. What is he praying to Matsya for? Manu. Or he can also glorify, he'd be glorifying Matsya. Anything specific? He was remembering how he also got protected in the devastation. Like that. Okay, yes? Supreme Protector.
I don't understand
Okay. Okay, he's a maintainer and a protector. Very similar prayers. And Hiranmayavarsha Aryama was worshipping Kurma. What do you pray to Kurma for? How does he worship Lord Kurma? And Hiranmayavarsha, I wasn't there, so you have to tell me. Are you sure? Okay, then don't speak. Yes. He's moving here and there so nobody can see his actions. Yes, in the depths of the ocean. Varaha, what is Bhumi Devi in Uttarakuru Varsha up north? She's worshipping Varaha. What is she worshipping? Yes, we heard that, I think, this morning. Sacrifice.
Understanding.
What's that, Sankirtan?
It seems like she's asking for this understanding.
Understanding.
Bhumi, yes.
Okay, she wants to understand Varaha more. So today we're going to hear about... Oh, one more question I want to ask you. This is an interesting question. So we have heard about Matsya, Kurma, and Varaha. So some people may think it's strange that we are worshipping a fish, a boar, and a tortoise. So what can we say? How can we say that the fish, the boar, and the tortoise are very beautiful? What is beautiful about the fish, the boar, and the tortoise? Or you can choose one. Sharanya. Krishna has unlimited beauty. So how is the fish and the boar and the tortoise beautiful?
Well, when the Lord incarnates the fish or the boar or the tortoise, he's still unlimited beauty.
He's still beautiful. He's still Krishna. Demonstration of his independence. Yes, Paramakarna.
He said that he's ever youthful.
Ever youthful.
So even these features, wonderfully youthful features, and they're not tinged by the light of nature.
Okay, so even these features are ever youthful. Madan Gopal?
In the past, I just think that each of these incarnations is very well suited to the purpose
of the... Oh, right. It is the beautiful thing about them is you can appreciate how they're so well suited to the purpose they come for. Actually, I was just remembering in third canto when we heard about Varaha, and he was holding up the earth, and then he manifested a bluish form, threefold bending form. Not threefold bending, but bluish. So then the sages, they knew, oh, this is Krishna, actually Krishna. Okay, last. Are you sure? Okay. Six opulences in full. So in any incarnation, this manifests. Not in full. Krishna only has the full. Six opulences in full. The others may manifest some of the opulences, but not all six. They may manifest some opulences. This we learn in the first canto, in the verse, in the purport. What's the famous verse? Mahaprabhu said that. Yes, three actually. We're going to learn Mahaprabhu and Krishna. They have everything. Today we're going to learn a very interesting purport here by Srila Prabhupada in some of these purports. What is the significance of Lord Ram and Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comparison? Because they are Sadbhuj. So there is a similarity between the three of them. And there are some differences between the three of them. So we'll discover that today in Srila Prabhupada's purport. So we've read verse 1. We'll read the next verse 2. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting glories of Lord Ramchandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arshtisena, the chief person in Kimpurusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras. Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vataya Nama Upashikshitatmana Upasita Lokaya Nama Sarvara Nikarshanaya Namo Brahmanya Devaya Mahapurushaya Maharajaya Nama Iti. Verse 3. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bij mantra Omkara. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is a reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, You exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmins, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So one word I found in this verse, a very interesting word, consistent behavior. What is consistent behavior that Lord Ram has? What does this mean if you have consistent behavior? Yes, Adi Purush.
He's truthful to his word.
Truthful to his word, okay. Truthful, you can count on him. You can count on him. He's consistent. So this is a wonderful quality. I think yesterday's Bhagavatam class, I don't remember who was giving it, was talking about how Krishna is so consistent. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you were giving? I don't know if it was your class, but anyway, somebody was speaking, and they were talking about how Krishna is so consistent in his behavior that even the demons can count on Krishna not to attack them without any cause. And they're thinking, well, if we surrender to Krishna, then he'll protect us. So they're counting on Krishna's consistent behavior. So Lord Ram has also this consistent behavior. What is another aspect of consistent behavior?
Steady.
And also equal. Consistent means you treat everyone in the same consistent manner. So just like when his wife was criticized by Adobe, then he did not hesitate to leave his wife, to banish Sita. So his behavior was consistent. He accepted also the words of his Adobe. So this is important. Why is consistent behavior important?
Meaning he doesn't budge from his constitution.
He doesn't budge from his constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent. So it means reliable, not erratic. So he's consistent in his dealings. Verse 4. Yatta vishudhanu pavamattamekam sotejusatrastaguna yavastam patyapashantam sudiyapalammanam kyanamarupam nirham padye. He has no material activities, nor has he... Whoops, I'm reading my summary here. I better read the verse. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchidananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Okay, Adi Purush, which verse in Vedanta?
Also,
it's Ekam Eva Ditya Brahma.
It's not from Vedanta
proper,
but it's from Upanishads.
It's from Vedanta in general. Not the Vedanta, but Vedanta. He's described as being one without a second. What are those words in Sanskrit? One without a second. Asamortvam.
Advaita.
Advaigyan. Advaigyan. Not dual substance. One without a second. Asamortva. Atoksaja. This is the Lord. Because of his... So here who is quoting? Who is speaking here? This is Hanuman. Hanuman's quoting Vedanta. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, and let us offer respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in various expansions, as stated in the Brahma Samhita. Ramadi Murti Shukalani Amena Tishtanana Patarama Karo Bhuvane Shikentu Krishna Sayang Samabhava Paramakumanya Govindamati Purushantamamachami. So, there's a reason why Prabhupada is quoting this verse. about Lord Ramchandra. And if you read the purport, you'll know why. There's a certain reason. It proves a certain truth about Lord Ram. Yes?
That verse establishes that Ram is as good as Krishna.
Okay, this verse establishes that Lord Ramchandra is good as Krishna. Ramadi Murti Shukala. Right. So some people say, how can he be Vishnu? He doesn't have the four symbols in his hand. And Prabhupada says, we know Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird Garuda, is equipped with different types of weapons. Therefore, we may doubt, Prabhupada says, whether Lord Ramchandra could be in the same category, since he was carried by Hanuman, not by Garuda, and had neither four hands nor Shankar, Chakragara, and Padma. Consequently, this verse clarifies Ramchandra is as good as Krishna. Although Krishna is original, Ramchandra is not different from him. So then the last paragraph, middle sentence, also I found an interesting remark by Srila Prabhupada. Because the Paramatma has no material connections, he is described here as Anama Rupa Niraham. Paramatma has no material identity, whereas the Jivatma does. Anama Rupa, no material name, no material form. So that is why we cannot see the Paramatma. Does anybody know some verses that explain this Anama Rupa? Any verses from anywhere? I won't restrict you. Nobody knows. Of course, Adi Purush knows.
Indirect.
Okay, no problem. Nashishanka Napavaka. Natad Pasayate Suryo Nashishanka Napavaka. Okay. He's unapproachable. Yes, because there's no sun and moon or anything in the spiritual world. They're only in the material world. So therefore you can't approach him through these things. Okay, that's a good quote. There's one we're going to hear in the sixth canto, third chapter, verse 16. As the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as supersoul in everyone's heart. Not by senses, mind, life, air, thoughts, or vibration of words can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Lord. So just like it's described that our legs, they move forward by the power of our eyes, but the legs cannot see the eyes. So we are moving by the direction of Supersoul, but we cannot see the Supersoul. So in the second paragraph of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how Ravana didn't actually see or kidnap the real Sita Devi. So the form of Sita taken by Ravana was an illusory representation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. And when Sita was tested in the fire, Maya Sita was burnt and the real Sita came out. So this is one example of how somebody tried to take away an associate of the Lord, but they failed. They got a duplicate instead. Now there's another example in Bhagavatam of somebody trying to take away the Lord's associates, but they didn't get the real ones. They got a duplicate. They got duplicates of real. Yes, Brahma. This is described in 10, 13, 15, that he tried to take them away, but instead he took some other boys in caps. He didn't take the real ones. He didn't get the real associates. And this is called Maya Arbaka, boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. Maya Arbaka, yes. Yes. That verse is going to come up. That discussion will come in a few verses. Well, why is he lamenting? Why is all this happening? This will come up. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is also described about the Maya Sita. So I'll just read a few verses. This is Madhya Lila, chapter 1, verse 117 to 119. Tahai koila kurma kurana shavan Maya Sita nile karavan tahate likhan. At Rameshwara, Lord Chaitanya had a chance to read the Kurma Purana, in which he discovered the form of Sita kidnapped by Ravana was not that of the real Sita, but a mere shadow representation. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, the shadow Sita was placed in the fire as a test of chastity. Maya Sita entered the fire, and the real Sita came out. So Lord Chaitanya, he was very glad to read about the false Sita. He remembered his meeting with Ramdas Vipra, who was fasting very sorry that Mother Sita had been kidnapped by Ravana, Lord Chaitanya tore the page from the Kurma Purana, although the book was very old, and showed it to Ramadas Vipra, whose unhappiness was mitigated. So this was from Chaitanya Lila. The devotees really get into the pastimes of Ram. This Brahmin, he couldn't eat, because he was just at the part where Sita got kidnapped. And he was supposed to, the worst part was he was supposed to cook for Lord Chaitanya, I think. And Lord Chaitanya came for lunch and there was no lunch. I said, what happened? I said, well, you know, I'll tell you what happened. Sita was just kidnapped by Ravana. So I couldn't cook. I'm fasting until she comes back. So this is how the devotees get into the Leela. Their worshipful lords. Verse 5. Martyavataras Tihamartya Shikshanam Raksha Vadhayaiva Nakevalam Hipa Kutanyatasya Ramatasa Atmana Sita Kutani Vyasana Manishara. It was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramchandra, Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is a self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? So we'll answer that question about why he was, I think that goes into the next verse about your question, Sankirtan. But for now, I'd like to just concentrate on the lessons, because here it says Lord Ramchandra came to teach some lessons to mortal human beings. So I found three lessons in the purports, three different lessons. So who can tell me one lesson? Lord Ram, yes. Better not to enter into married life. Okay? What's the second lesson? And this, okay, let's see where this lesson. This is in paragraph 1, 6 lines down. By his personal example, Lord Ramchandra taught the devotees it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations. In paragraph 2, Kripanas, who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge, who are therefore just the opposite of Brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees. Okay, then what are two other lessons that Lord Ramchandra is teaching by his life, his example? Give protection, very good. So the second lesson is you must, in paragraph 3, one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men, those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. So who are these two classes of men? Who strictly follow and who are devotees. Devotees, obviously, are Vaishnavas. Who are these who strictly follow the religious principles? Yes. Varnashram. Yes. Varnashram people. By his personal example, Lord Ramchandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. So both Vaishnavas and those who are following Varnashram should follow his example of protecting the wife. So what is another aspect of his teachings? And this is actually, will answer Sankirtan's question to some extent. The third lesson of Lord Ramchandra. You can flip this. Flip chart, yeah. Thank you. We'll see if you don't know it, then here it is. Number 3, the Lord and his devotees do not suffer from material tribulations. This is in paragraph 4. Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramchandra is although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purushas, liberated persons under all circumstances. Therefore, it is said in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Jata dekha vaishnavir vyavahara duk nishchai janiyataha paramananda silk. A Vaishnav is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, viraha. So this is why he was suffering in separation from Sita, because it wasn't suffering, it was actually rasa. Yes, but Maya Sita, you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, the real Sita also left at the same time. She wasn't with Ram. She went with Agni. Agni took her. So she wasn't with Ram. So obviously he's going to feel separation. He wasn't feeling separation from the Maya Sita, but he was feeling separation from the real Sita, who wasn't with him. So here, the emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramchandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So one time, Srila Prabhupada was very sick, and the devotees, his servant was so worried about him. Oh, I don't know, what can I do? How can I help Srila Prabhupada? He's so sick with fever. And then after the third day, he was a little afraid of asking Prabhupada a question that, how you're a pure devotee, how are you suffering? So he put the question in an indirect way. He said to Srila Prabhupada, does a pure devotee suffer? So Prabhupada's answer, what do you think Prabhupada said? An answer to that question. Very interesting answer. I'll tell you. Prabhupada said it was a lover's bite. Lover's bite. Bite. When lovers, Prabhupada says, they bite sometimes. They bite each other. So that's what Krishna was doing with him. He was biting. And so this was Prabhupada's appreciation of his fever with Krishna. How Krishna was actually, it was a love bite. He was showing his love for him when he was giving him a fever. So in the 9th canto, 10th chapter, verse 11, there is a verse also about this same point. When Ramchandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramchandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife, shown by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. So then probably in the purport explains that this feeling that Lord Ramchandra and Sita were having, it's vipralamba, separation. So this is belongs to Shringararas in the spiritual world. And then he describes there are symptoms called sattvika, sanchari, vilapa, murcha, and unmada. So when he was separated, all these spiritual symptoms were manifest. It was not something material that he was lamenting, but he was experiencing a spiritual rasa of vipalamba. The Lord is neither impersonal nor impotent. Rather, he is Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Thus, he has all the symptoms of spiritual bliss. Feeling separation from one's beloved is an item of spiritual bliss, explained by Sarup Damodar Goswami. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hari Nisha Tirasma. The dealings of love between Radha and Krishna are displayed as the pleasure potency of the Lord. Lord is original source of all pleasure, reservoir of all pleasure. Lord Ramchandra therefore manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. So materially he was manifesting two truths at the same time, a material truth and a spiritual truth. So Prabhupada explains these two truths. Materially, those who are attached to women suffer. But spiritually, so what do you think the spiritual truth is? So we got the material truth, that's easy. Spiritually, what is the truth? Yes. Yes. Actually, not only is it bliss, but the bliss increases in separation. And this is what Prabhupada said, Lord Ram is teaching. Spiritually, when there are feelings of separation between the Lord and his pleasure potency, the bliss of the Lord increases. So I was reading, I think it was Bhajan Rahasya, there's four kinds of separation. And there, I have the Sanskrit here, and I don't know if I exactly remember the English, but you all can help me. First, there's Purva. Purva, Durapravas, Pravas, and Mana. So Purva, as far as I understand, is the separation you feel from somebody before you meet him. You just see, like the gopis are seeing Krishna, but they're already feeling separation. Oh, if we could only be like the flute in Krishna's hand, Krishna's lips. So they're feeling separation, but they haven't met Krishna yet. And so this is Purva. Then there's Pravas. That is separation during the day. Like Krishna goes away to tend the cows. His mother and father are feeling great separation from him. And there's Durapravas. That means dur, means far away. So he's gone to Mathura. And the inhabitants are feeling separation. And then the fourth one is Mana. What is Mana? Anger. Radharani gets angry with Krishna and she won't let him come in. And they're both feeling separation. She's feeling separation and he's feeling separation. He tries everything to get back. So these are four kinds of separation that they are feeling. So here it was Durapravas, that Lord Rama and Sita, they were feeling that they're far away from each other. But actually, Prabhupada says, this is spiritually, he's showing that the feelings of separation increases the bliss. So there is another point in this feeling of separation, and this is in the purport of 10th canto, 29th chapter, verses 10 and 11. Now, there is some benefit for us when we hear of this separation between Rama and Sita, between Radha and Krishna, and between the gopis and Krishna. So here it is said in the purport, when people in general, this is in regards to when the gopis, some of the gopis could not enter the rasa dance. They were forbidden, they were prevented from going by their husbands and relatives. So they were feeling great separation, they were burning in agony. So this separation caused all inauspicious things to tremble. And it says, when people in general hear of the gopis' extreme agony and separation, they abandon thousands of inauspicious things. And especially the most inauspicious thing for us to abandon. What is the worst thing that we should give up? False ego. Lust. Yes, false ego. False ego includes everything. Lust comes from there, and everything is false ego. So when you hear about the separation of Lord Krishna from his devotees, Lord Ram from Sita, the effect it will have on us is we will give up our false ego. Now this is very nice to hear. Here it says, those who hear the gopis' love and separation give up their terrible false ego and thinking themselves defeated are shaken. So when we hear of this, we feel bad when Lord Ram and Sita are separated from each other. That will help us to give up our false ego. So this is very nice. So then, of course, when the gopis were feeling separation, at that point Krishna appeared and he came to them and he embraced them. Although they were far away, they were meditating on Krishna. And in that meditation, Krishna came and he was with them, enjoying with them. And they were so happy that all their pious reactions vanished from that happiness. And if we hear about that and we see how happy they were upon embracing Krishna, then we'll feel that thousands of all of our pious activities, our pious reactions, are insignificant in comparison. So these are the effects of hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And we're very fortunate to be hearing these pastimes. So let's read verse 6. Again about separation. Navaisa atmat mavatam suritamam satas chilokam bhagavan vasudeva nastrikritam kashmalam ashnubita nalakshanam chape vihatumati. Since Lord Sri Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. So one more lesson from this purport, which Prabhupada tells us? What is the fourth lesson to learn from Lord Ram? Yes, it's up there. It's up in there. How dutiful a king should be. This is in paragraph 2. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who always render transcendental loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth in life, not to brahminical qualities. Isn't that interesting? Before we were always hearing how he's attached to the Brahmins and the brahminical qualities. Now he's saying, no, he's attached to the truth in life. What does that mean? It just hit me right now when I read that. He's not attached to brahminical qualities. He's attached to truth and life. Oh, I think there's a verse that explains that. Yeah. Yes, yes. Even an impersonalist may have brahminical qualities. Shamo, dama, tapa, shocham.
But he wants the true color of the person, the true color of the devotee.
So what's the true color? He wants the true color.
Being a devotee.
Yes. So what is the true color of being a devotee? What is that?
Service.
Service. Okay. Sincerity, service. One more word. Marangopa? Yes. Devotion. Devotion. He's looking for that love which he hasn't got. That's the only thing Krishna doesn't have, is the love of all these conditioned souls. So that he wants. He wants that one thing. He wants that love. Okay. How did I get there? Oh. He's attached to the truth. There's a verse. I can't... slip me now about this, how he's not impressed by the brahminical qualities. Huh? Prahlad Maharaj? Oh yeah, that's a verse. That's a good verse. That's one of the verses. Padma Purana. A Vaishnava Guru Nasyat Vaishnava Shapacho Guru. Mantra Tantra Visharada. Yes, they may have the mantra, the tantra, and all these things, but if he's not a Vaishnava, and the Lord, he doesn't care about it. But yes, a Vaishnava, yeah, Vaishnava Shapacho Guru. A Vaishnava Guru Nasyat Vaishnava. Yeah, anyway, it's one of the Puranas, Padma Purana. Okay. So this is the Lord's nature. He's attached to the truth. He's never attached to material qualities. Although he's a super soul of all living entities, he specifically manifests to those who are self-realized, and he's especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. So that's what he actually, that's the truth in life. He says, what does he say in ninth canto about the heart of his devotees? Yes, I am in the devotee's heart, and they are my heart. Yes, I have no independence from my devotees. And there's another one about heart. Yeah. I'm always in the heart of the devotees. So this is Lord Ramchandra's mood. Even the devotee of my devotee, so that's our hope. He's even devotee of my devotee, he is dear to me. So here it says, actually, because Lord Ramchandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshman. Factually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramchandra from a self-realized soul. Then we can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. So he gave up Sita Devi because Adobe criticized her character. So he said, no, I must sacrifice my own wife just to keep my character perfect. And then he gave up Lakshman. That's near the end of his Leela because... at the end of Lord Ram's Leela, there was a visitor to Lord Ram, Kala. Kala came to visit Ram. And he kept Lakshman out at the door, and he said, don't let anyone enter the door of my room while I'm speaking with Kala. And if anyone dares to enter, I will banish him from my kingdom. So guess what happened? Durvasa Muni showed up. And you know how that is. You know how Durvasa is. And he said, I must immediately see Lord Ram, and if you don't let me in, I'm going to curse you. So Lakshman was afraid of the curse of Durvasa, so he went into the room when the Lord was speaking with Kala, and he informed him that Durvasa Muni has come. So then Lord Ram finished talking with Kala. He finished He worshipped Durvasa, he gave him, fed him sumptuously, and then after that he said, now Lakshman, you have to leave my kingdom. So then Lakshman went to the Sarayu River from some accounts, and at that time manifested as Shesha, and he left. And Sita, when she was banished, she went to Valmiki's ashram, where she gave birth to Love and Kush. So then, of course, after that, Love and Kush met Lord Ram. They chanted Ramayana, and then he brought back Sita, but then she didn't want to stay, and she left also. So when we see the life of Lord Ram, we learn many lessons. Brija makes an interesting point here, that there's no question of these human-like feelings with Varaha and Kurma. So Hanuman is explaining that Ram's activities are reflected in human society. Verse 7 is a very wonderful verse of what are the qualifications to establish a friendship with Lord Ram. Na janmanunam mahatana saupakam na vanna buddhir na pitista shahetu tayad vishista na pinopanopushas chakara sakke patalakshmana kusha. One cannot establish a friendship with Supreme Lord Ramchandra on the basis of material qualities such as birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramchandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramchandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends. So here's the last lesson of Lord Ramchandra, that not by janma, not by sobhaga, great fortune, not by vak, not by buddhi, akriti, features of the body, none of these things can impress the Lord to accept you as his friend. So the purport, in a prayer to Krishna expressing her feelings, Srimati Kunti Devi called him akinchana gochara. The prefix a means not, kinchana means something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education, and so on. Although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee, and when he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. So then goes on about that. And then a few lines down, Lord is achieved by devotion. Rupa Goswami has said the price for achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Layam ekam mulyam. Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, kolave cha sevake dekho bhagishima rama shiva khanti jar dekhya mahima thane jane pandite krishna hipai keval bhaktir vash chaitanya goshai. Behold the great fortune of the devotee Kolavecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers, or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. So it's describing how he was so poor, he had only a broken roof with many holes. He drank water from an iron pot, and Lord Chaitanya also drank from that iron pot. But he was a great devotee of the Lord. So, we should any more verses that explain this point, how the Lord can only be purchased in one way. Yes, that was quoted. Laoyam ekolam mulyam ekolam Rupa Goswami. Only by laoyam can you purchase the Lord. There's another way. We read a verse a few days ago or weeks ago. One way you can purchase Krishna. By offering Tulsi leaf. Verse 8. Saro sarva gatavanara nara sarvatmanaya sukhitakya muttamam pajittaramam manujakitim harim ya uttaranalaya kashanandivam iti. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or demon, a man or creature other than man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramchandra, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord. for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramchandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. So here in purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the similarity between Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, and Lord Chaitanya. What is the similarity between the three?
Easily satisfied.
Okay, that's one thing. Actually, it was in the verse also. Yes. Yes. They sent so many living entities back home. Almost everyone who came before Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya were delivered and sent back. So this is one thing they all have in common. And this is in the purport. What's that?
They're both
Paramakaruna, yes? I think Lord Chaitanya is more Paramakaruna. We'll see that in the purport. Actually, Prabhupada says Lord Chaitanya is more merciful. Why is Lord Chaitanya more merciful?
He even gave mercy to the asuras.
He even gave mercy to the non-devotees. That's one in nectar devotion, where I think it's the quality of magnanimous. Lord Krishna is kind to the devotees. Lord Chaitanya is kind to, even to the non-devotees. Okay, yes? He doesn't take into account offenses unless they're against his devotees. Yes, to himself he doesn't. Like if we chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, he doesn't take offense. Anything else? Why he's more merciful? Actually, Prabhupada gives another something in the purport. Actually, I think you did hit on it, that he was delivering the non-devotees. The way he delivered them is quite different. How Krishna delivered the non-devotee, Damana Krishna.
Krishna looks for the qualities of Lord Chaitanya. He just gives people the gift of service.
Yes, so Krishna was discriminating who he would give bhakti or prema to, but Lord Chaitanya didn't discriminate. And not only that, Krishna was delivering people by killing them. Yes, Adi, is that what you're going to say, Adi Purush? Yeah, that's what Prabhupada says. Let's read the purport. Lord Sri Ramchandra is so kind and merciful to his devotees. He is very easily satisfied by a little service rendered by anyone, human or not. So that was also, all of them had relationships with animals. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and Lord Ram, they all had some special relationships with animals. Well, that's all you get. So they all had some relationships with animals. What was Lord Chaitanya's relationship with animals? I can think of two.
The dog
of Shivananda Sen. Okay, that's three. What's another one? Jarika in the forest. He got the lions and the deer to kiss and engage in Harinam. He got all the animals engaged in Harinam in the forest. And what was another example of Lord Chaitanya's relationships? Yes?
Puppy.
Oh, the puppy. When he was a small child, the puppy, he had a puppy. His mother didn't approve of it. She said, go take bath in the Ganga. Don't play with that puppy again. I remember one more thing, one more relationship. Yes?
He was playing with the snake also.
Oh, he's playing with the snake, yes, when he was a baby, yeah? Yes, when he came to Vrindavan, all the deer and the cows, they were after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Ram, of course, his army was monkeys and bears. And Lord Krishna, what is his relationship with the animals? Jambavan. He was fighting with Jambavan. Yeah? Yes? He worshipped the cows. He took care of the cows. Not only he took care, he was drinking milk from the cows. And then he was taking care of them. Adi Purush. He killed a few animals too. Those were his toys, remember? Third canto, it says that Kamsa sent a few toys for Krishna to play with when he was a small boy. And that was like, you know, like a Trinavarta. And so he was killing them just like toys. Huh? What's that? He fed the monkeys. Oh. The rascal monkeys were Krishna's friends. And he was feeding them.
Kaliya,
yes, he was dancing. He did Rasleela in Kaliya's woods. So all these incarnations, they have relationships even with the animals in their leelas. So we'll keep reading the purport. The special advantage of worshipping Lord Ramchandra, and there is the same advantage in worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna and Lord Ramchandra, in the manner of Kshatriyas, sometimes show their mercy by killing asuras. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awarded love of God without difficulty, even to the asuras. So why not to us? That's what we should think. Gave it to everyone else, so what about me? All the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but especially Lord Ramchandra, Lord Krishna, and later Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, delivered many of the living entities present before them, indeed, almost all of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the six-arm form of Sadbhujmurti, which is a combination of Lord Ramchandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Sadbhujmurti, form of the Lord with six arms, two arms of Ramchandra, two arms Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how did Lord Ram deliver all the living entities in front of him? You know that story? I'll tell you the story. There's a story. And then he left, actually. He took everyone back to Godhead. He went into the river Sarayu, and he says, anyone who wants to go back to Godhead, just come in the river and drown yourself, or just follow me, whatever. So everyone, what's that?
Haribo.
You're ready, huh? Ready to go. Okay, it's not that easy. If it were that easy, then, you know, Lord Chaitanya said, I would give up so many bodies. Lord, that was Sanatan Goswami's idea. Let me just commit suicide. But Lord Ram is not here right now in that form, so we can't do that. They all entered the river. They all went back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya, he gave Harinam. Any other way, Lord Chaitanya took everyone back to Godhead. Hari Purush?
When Vasudev Datta asked
Vasudev Datta requested Lord Chaitanya to take, and so he did. So how did Lord Krishna take everyone? Of course, some of them he killed. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so many soldiers were there. So how did those soldiers actually get the qualification? They were all demons, and Krishna wasn't killing them personally. So how did those soldiers in battle of Kurukshetra who were opposing Krishna, how did they become qualified to go to Vaikuntha, go back to Godhead?
Because Krishna killed somebody.
Yeah, but Krishna didn't kill them. That's what I said, yes.
They saw Krishna.
They saw Krishna, but that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to see Krishna, yes?
Constantly
meditating on Krishna. But there was another reason. Yes, Madan Gopal. Huh? They heard the Bhagavad Gita, of course. Why didn't I think of that? No. But that's a good reason. Actually, in third canto, Srila Prabhupada says that they were looking at Krishna. See, without the pure devotee, you can't go, right? So they got the association of Arjuna because he shot them with his arrows. Then they got purified. Then they got the qualification to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, this is spoken by Uddhava in the third canto. First they got shot by Arjuna. All their impurities were removed. Then they saw Krishna and they got to go back to Godhead. So without the mercy of pure devotee, you can't go back to Godhead. Of course, Bhutana was an exception, I guess. But generally speaking, that's the way you go. So Krishna, also there's another story here, 10th canto, 78th chapter, verse 16. After killing Vidurata, Krishna crossed to Jamuna and went to the cowherd village of Nanda, where he honored and consoled his aggrieved parents. They drenched him with tears and embraced him, and the Lord see it. And that Krishna had been in Mathura for ages and ages, and finally he went back. So now they're meeting Krishna after he has gone away. They drenched him with tears and embraced him, and then the Lord offered obeisances to the elder cowherd men and gratified all the residents with abundant gifts of clothing, ornaments, and so on. Then he sported continuously with the cowherd women on the Kalindi's charming bank, which is filled with pious trees. Assuming the appearance of a cowherd, resided there for 2 months, enjoying the pleasure of intimate pastimes in various moods of loving reciprocation. Then by Lord Vasudeva's grace, Nanda and all the other residents of that place, together with their children and wives, assumed their eternal spiritual forms, boarded a celestial airplane, ascended to the supreme Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Krishna, however, after bestowing on Nanda Gopa and all other inhabitants of Raja his own transcendental abode, which is free from all disease, traveled through the sky and returned to Dwarka as demigods chanted his praises. So this is, he took all the residents of Vrindavan back to Godhead. This is 10:78:16. So then, when did Lord Chaitanya show his Sadbhuj form? Did he show it to anyone? Sarvam Bhattacharya. Yes. Anyone else? Nityananda. Nityananda. Nityananda also saw it. And when he showed it to Nityananda, Lord Ramchandra had a bow in one hand, an arrow in another. Krishna had a stick and flute. And Lord Chaitanya had a sannyas danda and kamandala. This is Adi Lila 17:12 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then in 17:13, he showed us a six-star form, conchal disc, club, lotus flower, bow, and flute. It's a different kind of sadbhuj. And then finally he showed him his two-arm form. So we'll hear a lot more of that if you're still here for Chaitanya Charitamrita pastimes. Verse 9. Now we're going to talk about Narayana Rishi, who is in our Bharadvarsha. Shukadeva Goswami continued, glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are inconceivable. He has appeared in the form of Naranarayan in the land of Bhardvarsh at the place known as Bhadarikashram to favor his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, enunciation, spiritual power, sense control, and freedom for false ego. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets. He engages in executing austerity until the end of this millennium. This is the process of self-realization. So these are our lessons from Naranarayana Rishi. Dharma, religion, jnana, knowledge, vairagya, renunciation, aishwarya, mystic opulence, with an E, upashama, control of the senses, and uparama, freedom from false ego. So a lot of these incarnations are helping us to get rid of our false ego. Purport, three lines down, Prabhupada says, it is impossible to realize oneself simply by absorbing oneself in speculation and material activities. We must be very serious about self-realization and the practice of austerity. Unfortunately, the people of this age of Kali do not even know the meaning of austerity, nor do they want to know the meaning of austerity. Under these circumstances, the Lord has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon the fallen souls the easiest method of self-realization, technically called Chaitadarpana Marjanam, cleansing of the dirt from the core of one's heart. This method is extremely simple. Anyone can chant the glorious Krishna Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this age, there are different forms of so-called advanced scientific knowledge, such as anthropology, Marxism, Freudism, nationalism, and industrialism. But if we work very hard under their guidance instead of adopting the process practiced by Narayana, we shall waste a valuable human form of life. Thus, we shall certainly be cheated and misled. There's an analogy. It's in a verse which describes what it's like if you're trying to take shelter of these different isms as opposed to Krishna consciousness. Does anybody remember? I don't know if we did it in this canto. I'm confused between 5th and 6th because I'm studying both. Might be in this canto or it might be in 6th canto. There's an analogy. If you're trying to take shelter of anthropology, Marxism, Freudism, nationalism, socialism. Yes. Yes. Like trying to cross the ocean by holding the tail of a dog. You ever seen a dog swimming in the ocean? It's pretty hopeless. I saw one dog because he was in, where was this, in Goa. I think it was Jagannath Puri or Goa, I can't remember. And he all these dogs were after him, so his only course was to go into the ocean. And then he got carried out by the tide. He was out and he was struggling and struggling to get back to shore. So just imagine if you're holding onto his tail. and you're trying to cross the ocean. So this is what it's like if we try to take shelter of anything but Hare Krishna Mahamantra in this age of Kali. Verse 10, in his own book known as Narada Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion, through knowledge and through execution of the mystic yoga system. He's also described the glories of the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of his transcendental literature to Savarni Manu in order to teach those inhabitants of Bhartvarsh who strictly follow the principles of Ranashram Dharma how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus Narada Muni, along with the other inhabitants of Bhartvarsh, always engages in the service of Naranarayan, and he chants as follows. Lord Chaitanya, this is purport, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly declared, Bhartapumite hoila manishyajanmaja jamasata koikora parukar. Real success or fulfillment of the mission of human life can be achieved in India, Bhartvarsh, because in Bhartvarsh the purpose of life and method for achieving success are evident. People should take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Bhartvarsh, especially so for those who are following the principles of Varnashram Dharma. So then Prabhupada describes how no one's following, and then he asks the question, how then will they teach others? Therefore, this Krishna conscious movement has been started, not only for the inhabitants of Bhartvarsh, but for all the people of the world, as announced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhartvarsh means the whole world. Everyone in the world should take to the Krishna conscious movement. Make yourself perfect and take and help others. Krishna conscious movement follows this process of Panchatiki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi simultaneously so that people can take advantage of the movement and make their lives successful. So we're in Bhartvarsh, we should take our opportunity. Verse 11, Narada Muni worships Naranarayana Rishi. Om namo bhagavate upashama shilayo paratanatmaya namo kinchana vitaya rishi rishabaya naranayanaya paramahansa paramagurave atmaramadipataye namo nama iti. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Naranarayan, the best of all saintly persons, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the most self-controlled and self-realized. He is free from false prestige, and he is the asset of persons who have no material possessions. He is the spiritual master of all Paramahansas, who are the most exalted human beings, and he is the master of the self-realized. Let me offer my repeated obeisances at his lotus feet. Verse 12. Gayati chedam kartasya saga rishayona bhaktite nahanyate deha kato pitahikai dasuna jigyasya gunai vidushite tasmai namo sakta vivikta sakshine. Narada, the most powerful saintly sage, also worships Naranarayan by chanting the following mantra. Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of creation, maintenance, annihilation of this visible cosmic manifestation, yet he is completely free from false prestige. Although to the foolish he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Although he is the witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by the objects he sees. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that unattached, pure witness of the world, Supreme Soul, Personality of Godhead. So in the purport, Prabhupada discusses different aspects of the Lord's qualities. How is Lord Krishna renounced? Instead of reading the purport, let's see if you can explain it to me. How is he renounced? Why do we say he's renounced? Yes.
Well, he creates everything.
He's the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, and he's unattached. Prabhupada says, if we were to construct a very tall skyscraper, we would be very attached to it. But Krishna is so renounced, although he's created everything, he's not attached to anything. Navadite. Okay? So how is he undisturbed by the necessities of life?
He's Atmarama.
Atmarama, okay. Not having, yes, if, but he's not disturbed by hunger, thirst, because he's Atmarama, he's self-satisfied. How is he free from faulty vision? We have faulty vision, but Krishna's vision is pure. perfect.
He's present everywhere.
Okay. He's present everywhere, he can see everything, and not only that, he's above vision, the objects of vision, and the process of vision. He doesn't need to go through the eyes. He can see with his anything, right? What is that verse? Angani yasya sakalendriya vatimanti. Good. So he's, and okay, another thing is, Prabhupada says, the sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man, sight of a man naturally attracts a woman. Krishna, however, is transcendental to all these faults. Although he sees everything, he is not afflicted with faulty vision. Although he's a witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He's always unattached and separate. So all these points we have to learn before we get to the 10th canto. This is our preparation. How can he dance with so many gopis yet not be attracted? So there's an example in 10th canto, how Krishna is beyond hunger, thirst, and fatigue. You don't know. That's all right, I'll tell you. In 10, 25, 23, Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst, putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood holding Govardhan Hill for 7 days as the people of Braj gazed upon him. 10, 25, 23. And then at the end of the purport, Prabhupada explains, by continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Lord Krishna, residents of Vrindavan felt no hunger, thirst, or fatigue. So they weren't feeling hungry and thirsty. They didn't care because they were just seeing Krishna. So they forgot all these things. And Krishna, by seeing their forms, also forgot about eating, drinking, and sleeping. So both of them were free from fatigue and all these things. Verse 13. Idam yogeshwara yoga naipunam iranya garbo bhagavan jagariyat yarant kale taine kune mano bhakya datito chitadush kale mara. O my Lord, Master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. The time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Verse 14. Atahikamashmikakamalampata suteshitareshu taneshichintayan shangitavitavan kalevaratyayat yastasya yatna shama evkevalam. Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they always absorb in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labor to study the shastras? It was simply a waste of time. So this is also, Prabhupada says in the purport, if despite practicing bhakti yoga and studying all the Vedic literature, one is afraid of giving up his bad body, the cause of his suffering, what is the use of his attempts to advance in spiritual life? So then Prabhupada tells this in the middle of the purport. He made the same point. Vishnu, when he came to Prithu's sacrifice, made the same point. What is the use of being a great king if you become attached? Prabhupada says, the secret, okay, Prabhupada's telling you a secret here. Secret of success in practicing yoga is to become free from bodily attachments. Narottam Das Thakur says, Deha smriti nahi ja samsa bandhan kahatar. One whose practice has freed him from anxieties of bodily needs is no longer in conditional life. Such a person is freed from conditional bondage. A person in Krishna consciousness must fully discharge his devotional duties without material attachment. Then his liberation is guaranteed. So in Bengali, there's a proverb, bhajan koro pujan koro mortli janli hoy. Does anybody know what that means? Yes. Everybody knows. Hari Purush, go ahead, tell us. Yes, whatever you perform will be tested at the time of death. So Prabhupada says, so when people are approached by death and they're fearful and all these problems arise, then does that mean they studied for the final exam? He says all these other different yogas and processes He says, so they say, yes, yes, we are the same as you, but the final exam will be at death. So Prabhupada says, and if they fail the final exam, does that mean they studied? What did they do their whole life? What have they been doing? And so we have to study to pass the final exam. Verse 15. Tanapravotam kukalevara pitam tanmayayaham mamatam adhoksuja vindyamayena shuvayam sujapitam pitehi yogam taina sabhavam iti. Therefore, Lord, O Transcendence, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute bhakti yoga so that we can control our restless minds and fix them upon you. We are all infected by your illusory energy. Therefore, we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, and to anything related with the body. Except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction. So obviously, Narada Muni, what is he going to pray for? Devotional service. He wrote Narada Pancharatra, which is all about devotional service, so therefore he's praying for engagement in devotional service. So he's giving us the prayers whereby we can become liberated from our stool and urine body. And Prabhupada gave us the easiest prayer, actually. What did Prabhupada give us? The prayer to pray. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Today's verses. We had to move a bit fast today.
The best purpose of human life is fulfilled by worshipping Sadbhujmurti.
Sadbhujmurti, yes.
I don't know. Prabhupada installed any Sadbhujmurti.
Did Prabhupada install? No, not that I... There is one somewhere.
There's one in Oslo. I saw it.
Where is that?
Oslo, Norway.
Norway. Oslo,
huge
Norway.
Huge mansion of a building and the deity's this big.
This big and huge building. Yes.
But, I'm wondering...
Yeah, he didn't. He never installed Sadbhujmurti.
Interestingly, right, that the best purpose of human life is to worship the Sadbhuj form.
Yeah, the way I took that was a general statement. That, you know, as a human being, we should worship Sadbhujmurti. Sadbhujmurti, acha? Where is this?
In Mayapur.
In Mayapur, they worship. In Mayapur, a lot of devotees worship Sadbhujmurti. Yes, Adi Purush? Radha Raman, there is Sadbhuj deity. Worshipped by who? Jagannath? That's Babaji. So it is in our line. I think he's encouraging people just to worship at least something, you know. Of course, Sadbhuj is very powerful because you have three in one. You have Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and Lord Ram. So nothing's lacking. Of course, Lord Krishna has everything. So, yeah, anybody else? You have some in Russia? Or Ukraine? No. In Bhaktivedi Purnamaraj's place. Yeah, they worship Sadbhuj. And who? In where? Hulagat. Near Hulagat. Sadbhuj. Large one. So anyone who wants to see Sadbhuj in person should go to Mayapur. And you will see many examples, many murtis of Sadbhuj. Murti. Actually, I think there's a story which I can't... It just hit my head right now. There's a story about the first devotees in 26 Second Avenue. And they brought brought a bunch of pictures from India. And one of them was Sadbhuj, I believe. And they couldn't figure out who this was. Who was this creature with six arms? The devotees couldn't figure it out. And they were so shocked when Prabhupada said, oh, this is the best, this is the most wonderful picture. They brought different, you know, demigods. Because they didn't know, you know, they thought, you know, these are nice pictures, we'll put them up in the temple. And then Prabhupada said, okay, this one yes, this one no. And so Sadbhuj was very... Actually, there's another form of... There's an interesting form that when I was in Calcutta, there was a form of Radha and Krishna together. Like, together, not separate. You know, yes? Sadbhuj and Vrindavan. Okay, let's go back to Sadbhuj.
There is a famous deity, Pishinaya Gornitai. Gornitai worshipped by Maharaj Dasgupta.
Okay, there's Gorni Taidi is worshipped by Murari Gupta.
They are here near Bankanti Mahadev.
Near Bankanti Mahadev.
So they were made by Murari Gupta himself.
Acha.
With permission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Made by Murari Gupta himself with permission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So they have the lotus feet of Krishna Balaram.
Lotus feet of Krishna Balaram.
Hands
of Ram and Lakshman, the actual hands.
Yes.
Hands of Ram and Lakshman, the feet of Krishna Balaram.
And the faces of
Gorni Tai. Amazing, amazing Sadhguru's form. Huh?
Three in one.
Another example of three in one. Wow, how the Lord appears. So he appeared like that too. What is Murari Gupta's specialty? Why did he have
Hanuman?
He's Hanuman, so he had to see Ram.
Six in one.
He had to.
Six in one.
No, three in one. There's only three people. Six and two.
Six.
Oh.
Krishna,
I'm not good at math.
Ram
Lakshman.
Six.
Oh my goodness. Krishna, Balaram, Ram Lakshman, and Gorni Tai. Six in one. Okay. So you can see the Sadbuj of both Gorni Tai. If you go to Bankanti Mahadev nearby,
across
from Bankanti Mahadev. Yes, this is very wonderful. So we'll get triple mercy or six times mercy. See, from two, instead of only two, we get six. It's transcendental multiplication. Yes, hands are Ram and Lakshman, face Gorni Tai, and feet Krishna Balaram. So we're very fortunate to be in Vrindavan, yes. Okay, so they're very naughty deities. Be careful when you go see them. They may ask you for something in your dream, some seva or something. Okay, so be forewarned. Adi Purush is telling us. Of course, this is Vrindavan. It's the mood, right? Krishna is very naughty here. Madhavan Puri.
Millennium refers to which?
What?
Millennium.
Where? It could be different things. Millennium generally is 1,000 years in Western talk, or it could be a kalpa, a day of Brahma, or it could be one of the yugas, or it could be four of the yugas.
In
which one?
Nine.
Verse 9? Okay, let's look at verse 9. Look at the Sanskrit, first of all, for millennium. He engages in executing austerity
kalpa
until the end of this millennium.
Kalpa.
Means a day of Brahma. So it's whenever you're confused about words like this, it's good to look at the Sanskrit, and then it will help you to... To the end of Brahma's day. A kalpa. Right? A kalpa antam. Narayan. They stay for the whole Brahma's day. They must have been there since the beginning, that means. A Brahma's day. One thing I caught in one of these verses, I don't remember which one, Narada Muni is teaching Savarni Manu. And as far as I understand, he's a future Manu, right?
Oh.
Savarni Manu? He hasn't come yet? As far as I remember. Huh? Well, I think it's probably a different millennium also. It could be a different Kali Yuga or whatever yuga it is.
He's the eighth Manu.
I can't remember which one he is.
He's stepbrother of the present.
Oh, he's the stepbrother of the present Manu. So he's the son of, Chaya's son. Right. Oh, so not normally, naturally, he would also hear. Yes, okay. He's, yeah, see, Vivishvan has two wives, Sangya and Chaya. We're going to hear about that, I think, in the next canto. Sangya and, yes, we'll hear in sixth canto. We'll hear the whole genealogy. So he has two wives. Sangya is the mother of Vaivasvatamanu, Shatadev, and Chaya, the second wife, is the mother of Savarni Manu. Yes, Adipurush Prabhu? Chaya is the mother of Savarni. She's mother of how many Manus, Chaya? A lot of Manus or just one? Just one, okay. Mother of one Manu, and her co-wife, Sangya, is mother of Vaivasvatamanu, and also mother of Yamaraj and Yamuna, Yama and Yami. We'll hear about that in the sixth canto. stepbrother of Vaivasvatamama. Yes, he's got the same father, but different mother. His father is also Vivasvan, and mother is Chaya instead of Sangya. Savarnimana. So that's why he could be hearing right now, or he did hear. It says he already heard, right? He appeared. Yeah, he's the next one, but he's not Manu yet, but he still must be alive. He's waiting for his next, until he becomes Manu. Getting trained up by Narada Muni. He's getting trained up in so that he could be a good Manu. Getting trained up. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes.
What from is that story about the Ramakala and the Vasa?
Yeah, in Ramayana, also now Skanda Purana.
Not
Ramayana. Okay, Skanda Purana then. Because now we're hearing a lot from Skanda Purana these days.
Ramayana is when
Ramachandra kicks up. Oh. Yes, but there's some Ramayans that have another kanda, I think, besides that. That I've heard some Ramayans that have another extra kanda.
Seven.
Okay, so this is probably from Skanda Purana. Skanda Purana they have a lot more details and different things. Oh, interesting. Savarni Manu taught Rama Vaivarta Purana to Narada, so they exchanged. He taught him Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and Narada taught him Narada Pancharatra. Interesting. Well, they're probably still here. It's past tense, so that means they already exchanged. Yeah, that's already here with us. Yeah. Okay. Any other? Comments or questions? So, this is what Adi Purush. Where'd you get that from, Adi Purush? When Purana?
Puranic Encyclopedia.
Yeah, we're talking about a stretch of millions and billions of years, so who knows? We're talking about ages. So anything could happen in that time. Anything else for today's class? Okay, we'll stop here. All glories to Shiva.